And welcome back to School Spirit here on Armor of God Catholic Radio. Tom McNew and Robin Spencer again.
Good afternoon, everyone. Tom, it's good to be with you today.
Thanks for joining us. Last week we had so much fun talking to our exciting, air quotes, new teachers. We decided to do it again this week. And so we gathered another group of new teachers that teach here at St. Mary's Catholic School up here in Temple. And we're going to find out a lot about their inspirations and aspirations and maybe some perspirations as well. So I'm going with the alliteration this week. So anyway, so joining us today is Natalie Dolan, who teaches math.
Yes, I do. Math for 6th, 7th, and 8th grade.
And Sarah Kruger. I probably pronounced that incorrectly.
It's okay. Kruger.
Kruger, mm-hmm. Who teaches AP math, I guess, sort
of. Kind of more of the advanced, level, 6th, 7th, and 8th. And theater. Yes.
I want to talk about more of that. That's going to be interesting. And Francisco Maldonado, who teaches 5th grade.
Yes, that is correct.
All right. Why don't we just start and you guys kind of introduce yourselves to the 2.2 million people that are listening right now. I wish. Natalie, go ahead.
Okay. Well, I started my first year at St. Mary's Catholic School. I have been sending my two girls here last year, and that I volunteered lots. So I was here a lot. And I had actually signed up to be a substitute this year, but the math teacher that was here ended up having to leave, and I jumped in to fill a position.
Is math something you pursued in college or just...
It was, I started in aerospace engineering, and then with tuition and time constraints, I switched to food science engineering and food science technology. So there's a lot of overlap
with
math and science.
There's no math in any of those things.
That's sarcastic.
So much.
Sarah?
Yes, I have been a parent at St. Mary's for a long time. My daughter, who is a freshman in college, started here in the second grade.
Wow.
So I've been around a long time and just was a volunteer because that's how they reel you in. You start out just helping out occasionally and then they're like, hey, join this club. Hey, can you lead this? And you do. And you just jump in because you want to be a part of the community. And so then after I joined the kind of helping out with the theater program. And then when that teacher was needed to leave, I took over the theater program for the middle schoolers. And I have done that for about 7 or 8 years now, most of it volunteer. And then actually when Mr. Maldonado's wife was pregnant, I was her long-term sub for maternity leave. And then when she decided to stay home with her children, which is always a blessing to be able to do, I came on as the permanent math teacher. So,
awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
So.
And so, yes, this is my first year at St. Mary's. It's not my first year teaching nor in Catholic schools. I was at Catholic schools for a couple of years and then decided, well, let me see what's going on in the public schools. And actually with... almost an inquiry for me as a father for Catholic children. Mm-hmm. And you hear all these things about public school and it's like, well, what is going on over there? Mm-hmm. And it's definitely not the same thing that's going on in Catholic school. There's a lot of different things. So after that year at a public school, I had an opportunity to come here to St. Mary's. And it's actually been a huge blessing because I feel like after being at public school, the gifts and the graces and so many things that go along with being a Catholic school teacher that don't exist. Not saying that public school is all terrible. I'm not going to go down that road at all. But I really do have a deeper appreciation for our Catholic schools and the ability to do that with the students. It's a big blessing.
I love to hear the stories of, you know, like you said, Sarah, you start as a volunteer and next thing you know, you're in charge of things. But that embodies our faith, mm-hmm. right? The same thing happens. Father Will does the same thing, I'm sure, to most of the parishioners here. It's like, hey, I have an idea for a fall fest. Good, you're in charge.
Yes. You almost don't want to say anything because you know you're going to get pulled in. But obviously God gives us those gifts and those ideas, and it's part of our job to bear the fruit. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
So, Francisco, you talked about having spent some time in the public school you were in a Catholic school environment. Where at?
At St. Joseph's in Killeen.
Okay.
Yep.
So you taught at St. Joseph's and then went into public school. So talk a little bit about that transition from St. Joseph's into public school and then back to St. Mary's.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I'd been in the middle school at St. Joseph's, a wonderful school, wonderful colleagues. Yeah. There was no complaint whatsoever about the school, but it was a lot because I was the middle school humanities teacher. They got a classical curriculum. We have
some
of that here. And it is a gauntlet of information. Mm. Based on my background with my degrees, I mean, I was able to do it, but it is a lot of information to try and cover all those things. I talked to my wife about it. And also driving, I live here in Temple. You know, it's 20, 30 minutes a day. We've got small children. I felt like that's an hour that I lose in the morning, an hour I lose in the afternoon, you know, those type of things.
Sure.
And there was an opportunity to teach at a public school. And my own inquiry was, what is going on over there? And so I took a job for Belton ISD at a middle school.
Okay.
And in fact, we're talking about voluntold. My initial thing was there was an opening here at St. Mary's for a middle school. And I thought, okay, I could do that. And then I get a call from Mr. Warfield. He's like, how low would you go? I was like, are we talking about salary or we're talking about? I was like, wait a minute. He says, well, he goes, have you ever thought about elementary school? And I was like, definitely not kindergarten, but he said, we've got fifth grade. And I said, absolutely. Let me try that. And it has been a huge blessing for me to, like I said, first of all, being in a Catholic school after being at a public school. Mm-hmm. You know, there are so many things that go on in families, in life, and those things I wasn't able to minister to in a public setting. And I've always felt that it's a ministry, not just I'm a teacher. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, how can I be a good teacher if I'm not talking about the ultimate teacher and the one who teaches us everything on how to get through these things? And that was tough.
I think that was kind of the theme that we had last week was that what we get an opportunity, what y'all get an opportunity to do is to teach that whole person to incorporate our faith. And again, we're not trying to bash the public schools. It's just that's the circumstance that they're in. And here at St. Mary's and across all our Catholic schools, it's just a different circumstance.
Exactly. Yeah. Natalie and I were just talking about that today, actually, during our break time, and how, you know, we've got a different focus than the public schools.
Correct.
Because we're teaching them, like our mission statement says, academic excellence, but the first thing is the spiritual development. Mm-hmm. And we want to raise saints. We are trying to help them get to heaven.
I love that
y'all
said that in tandem.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
That was unrehearsed, by the way.
And so, you know, and I talk to my students, my eighth graders especially, about it because that's a hard year.
Yeah.
They're feeling too cool for school sometimes, especially this part of the year. And talking about how we're not just teaching them math or science or whatever, but that we are trying to raise them to be good humans. We're teaching them the virtues by modeling it, hopefully, and by praying the prayers and praying virtue prayers, and that our goal isn't just to be good kids, it's to be saints and to get to heaven. And we're lucky that we get to be with them on that journey.
Yes. We want them to strive to be not just good, but great, to be better, to inspire others to be better. You want to be an inspiration to those around you, not just do good because you're supposed to do good. Do good because you want to do good. You need to do good. You want to improve yourself and those around you.
Mm-hmm. Remarkable.
Yeah. So can any of you share like a specific testimony or experience that you've had in being able to integrate your faith and your content area and you know, those special moments that come about because that it happens, because you're not restricted in that area.
I would definitely say with my novel studies, that's always, because like I said, I was the humanities teacher, and based on my background, my wife's a math person, like she mentioned earlier. I am not a math person. That does not mean we're not covering everything in math. If you're listening at home, everything's going well with fractions, decimals, we're doing great. I love that part of it, right? The liberal arts part of it. And there is so much flexibility in that part of our Catholic faith within these novels. We're reading Prince Caspian right now. But there's this chapter, and the theme for the fifth grade students has been fortitude, this strength, right, this virtue. And we've actually nicknamed it fifthitude because they're about to go to middle school.
Oh, yeah.
And so they're in a different situation. It's ironic here at St. Mary's, if you're listening at home, they're the upstairs, but they're not any closer to heaven than the downstairs. Right? it's just symbolic. In fact, it may be slightly opposite right now with some springtime.
Hormones.
Right. Lots of those
things. Conversation for a different show.
Right.
But this fifth-a-tooth thing, and what I've noticed is, are you able to handle something difficult? And that is not taught in public schools. I will just, and maybe on a football field, but in the classroom, it's not these virtues that we talk about, making better humans, a well-rounded person. The fact that I can talk about fortitude with them and understanding that that's a grace that you get, but it's a habit that you have to form. And those habits that we're trying to form with these students, it's amazing. It humbles me. And well, am I being, you know, tough and getting through these things, or am I going to complain about those things? You know, and I pray about that. And like I said, it's been a beautiful thing with the students to help me along my own spiritual journey as well.
Hey folks, if you're just now tuning in, this is Tom McNew, and this is our School Spirit program. Appreciate y'all joining us. If you missed the first part, or you're going to miss the second part, whichever the case may be, remember that you can always tune in on Sunday afternoon at 12 o'clock. We will rebroadcast an encore presentation of today's episodes. Or if you're listening and you want someone else in your family or your friends or coworkers to hear what we're talking about here, you can tell them to tune in at noon on Sunday as well. So don't forget.
That's right. So can we'd like each of you, I guess, to tell us a little bit about your calling, about why you wanted to be a teacher, maybe in the Catholic school in particular, which I think you shared a little bit about earlier, but maybe just that calling to become an educator, all right? So,
Well, I can definitely answer that. I definitely did not want to be a teacher. Everybody growing up, they were like, you'd be so great as a teacher, and I was adamantly opposed because I was extremely shy. And the thought of getting up in front of a group of people every day and just talking was terrifying. So I actually, which is weird because I have a degree in vocal performance, but it's different when you get up as a character than when you just get up as yourself. And so I just didn't think, I was like, I need a script. I need someone telling me what to say, not just doing this on my own. So I didn't expect to be a teacher. But having children obviously always changes you. And I felt after being here in the school, being in the community, and seeing the need and the wonderful things that our educators were able to do, I felt that calling. I felt that this is where I need to be. And so when the opportunity came up to sub, to be a substitute, which we always need substitutes. If you need someone to, if you need some things to do in your free time, feel free to apply to be a substitute. But I realized, okay, it's not so scary to get up in front of these and to actually build those relationships. That's really what it's about as a teacher. That's the most important thing, is to build those relationships. If you don't have a good relationship with your students, you're not going to be able to teach them anything. And so just being part of that community, building the relationships, and realizing that this is where God wanted me to be was kind of eye-opening. And it's just one of those things that never turn out off that little voice that's telling you something. Mm-hmm. I ignored it for a while, but
students and all the your colleagues here are glad that you accepted the call.
I hope so. I hope so. But yes.
For me, I think I always knew that I wanted to teach at some point in my career. Like, I would come back to it at some point. And I've always helped tutor math and science. Even when I was in high school, when I was in college, out of college, I was always tutoring somebody. And I actually thought when I was going into teaching, it was going to be elementary. It's like, I love elementary. Elementary is so fun. I don't think I can ever teach middle school. That's a whole other beast. And then the opportunity arises and I'm like, well, am I able to rise to that challenge? It wasn't the path that I had in mind. And you pray on it and you think about it. And if it feels right, you take that leap of faith. You're like, okay, this is what's shown to me. I obviously need to go down this path. And it's been fantastic. I can't even contemplate not teaching middle school now. It's so crazy.
That's really wonderful. Yeah. And you use the gifts that the Lord has given you with that ability to do math and science, mm-hmm. and you're open to sharing it. Yeah. And that's a blessing, because I think when you love something, then it really helps you to be able to teach it well and to be able to have that passion within you. So
And make all the great math jokes that
that's
the children
right,
hate.
That's right. Thank the Lord for giving you.
Math teachers have a different type of humor, I think.
Yeah. Is it the same or different than dad jokes?
Oh, there's some overlap, yeah. There's a Venn diagram where there's some overlap in there, probably. Oh, wow. We're math teachers, so we could draw it for you if you want.
Well, that's a work on radio, right? Okay, Francisco, how about you?
Well, again, with the math thing, I'm just getting a little heebie-jeebies. It's just too much, and my wife loves math. And I always prided myself, because I used to be part of RCIA. My roommate from A&M, he converted. My best friend from A&M, he converted. My wife converted. And so that's always been, you know, RCIA and doing that. I just realized that my wife has converted two people into teachers,
yes, Berger,
and then me myself. I'm like, oh my gosh, she put us into this. So here we are, a small community, because that's what my wife said. I had my own business, and she says, well, you ever thought about teaching? I was like, I know, I would not do that. And so I did go to St. Joseph's, and I was there, and I did enjoy it. It was good. And then, like I said, I decided, well, let me see what's going on in public school. And for me, when I came back to St. Mary's, you know, spiritually, I specifically remember it was maybe Sunday or Monday, I'm not sure what day. I guess we started on a Thursday, I don't remember. Mm-hmm. But it was the night before school started. And I remember coming here, trying to get the room fixed up and everything. And I told this to Father Will. I said, you know, when I left St. Mary's that night and I realized this is exactly where I'm supposed to be. Mm-hmm. I said, there are very few spiritual moments that you have. Most of the time, it's always us, you know, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? Where do you want me to be? I told Father, it was totally clear. I said, do you know how much peace that is for a grown man to be able to say, I'm exactly where I'm supposed to be. Yeah. Now help me do what I'm supposed to do. Yeah. It was great.
Blessing.
Yes, it was absolutely huge blessing. Huge blessing. I love it.
A beautiful moment.
Yes, yes.
Okay, go ahead.
So you talked a little bit about how you got to start with the family aspect, where you had children that attended, mm-hmm. and you volunteered, and you kind of had gotten your foot in the door in that way as well. So tell us a little more about this feeling of family that you feel with working at St. Mary's.
Oh, yeah, we're definitely a tight, especially upstairs. We talk to one another. We work with it because we see all the students, especially as us, you know, we rotate 6th, 7th, and 8th between all of the middle school teachers. And so we want to make sure that, hey, if I notice something's going on with a student who might need a little bit more attention, I want to make sure, are they seeing what I'm seeing? Do they have another perspective? And that way we can, you know, talk to that student in a way that they need to be talked to. And that is such a nice, tight-knit thing to have, is knowing that all of us are working towards the same goal of helping these kids.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we're always able to help each other out. Mm-hmm. If we've got things going on, sick kids, mm-hmm. or appointments with parents, things like that... my father's been having some health issues, and I've been able to take off. And Natalie's always like, yeah, just bring him over to my classroom, and we can cover. And it's always nice to know that you've got someone that's got your back. Yeah. And we definitely have that here. We are all on the same page. We're all mm-hmm. on the same team and working together for the good of these students.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yeah, from my public school experience last year to this, faculty-wise, I mean, at a public school, I don't know who's actually on my side and who is talking mm-hmm. behind my back and who is, and you see those things. See those things. And anybody, you know, that has a job, you know those things exist. But I would definitely say that, you know, it's a very holy staff. that we have here, and we're all on the same page, and that's a beautiful thing that I don't have, like, well, I'm not quite sure if I should say anything. I can say whatever I need to say or what I'm concerned about, and I know that they're going to listen. And to have not only a good group of students, but also have the faculty and staff also on the same page, I mean, that is a miracle in and of itself, and I'm very grateful for that. With that said, too, I'm also an elementary male teacher, right? Yes. That's not a very common thing. I didn't see male teachers until I was in middle school.
Right.
And so we had a third grade teacher. He's like, finally, another guy down here downstairs with me. And I was like, yes, okay. But, you know, it is a different perspective for students at a young age to see that. And so that's also been a blessing as well.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah. Yes. So the theme for today's show is fortitude. So not that we develop a theme. That's just the way it's worked out. But even last week when we were talking to Team Fix, as I'm going to refer to them now forever, but I just found myself really kind of being enthralled with the dedication that I hear from the group last week and from the three of y'all this week. Just that you're all committed to, and Natalie, you kind of mentioned it, like a kid who's having a rough day, for whatever the circumstances are. We've all been there. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, we have them. It happens. But the ability to turn to Sarah, you know, or the other teachers and say, you know, hey, you know, so-and-so, there's something going on. Mm-hmm. I could not crack the onion or whatever the case may be. Mm-hmm. And that hallway communication or whatever, mm-hmm. just to make sure that and I think it was Stacy said it last week, said the education of the whole person,
mm-hmm. right?
So even though you're focused on math or the humanities or whatever the case, theater, whatever the subject, using air quote, is, you're intent on making sure that we have children that are thriving and surviving and maintaining their faith. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a beautiful, beautiful thing to hold on to. You were going to mention something. Go ahead.
Well, just... Sarah, can you talk a little bit about the theater arts program? So is that extracurricular for you beyond the math, or how does that fit into your schedule?
It's an elective. When it started out, I was just, since I have a music background, in addition to my math background, I started just kind of being the music director. And then when our theater teacher left, I took over the program. Currently it's an elective, and we have 19 students in it this semester. And, we do performances. We're currently working on our spring musical, which is Music Man Kids. Ooh. So we're in the audition process right now, and we'll have performances for that at the beginning of May. We were at the PSIA District 1-Act competition last month. So we've had a lot of opportunities to do a lot of different things. The kids love doing musicals because, you know, music always makes it fun. It's easy for them to learn their parts a little bit better. And I love how supportive our kids are of each other, because it can be really scary to get up in front of people, as I knew growing up. But there's such a good feeling of support that I think one of the things that I love being in theater is that I'm helping them kind of build those skills of, you know, confidence, being able to get up in front of a group. Especially I see a lot of it with our theater students when they're reading for mass, mm-hmm. or if they're helping in the choir, and it translates to that, which is wonderful. When they move on to high school, a lot of our students go to Holy Trinity, and they have an excellent forensic speech and debate program. A lot of my theater kids are doing speech and debate. In fact, I have one student that I remember when we were doing You're a Good Man, Charlie Brown, and he was auditioning, he was so nervous that he just couldn't even audition. We're like, just sing Happy Birthday, whatever you feel like singing, you know, no pressure. He had to leave. He came back later. He had to turn around, face the other direction to sing for us. And we're like, okay, you did great. We ended up giving him the part of Linus, and he just was so worried the whole time. And he just did a great job. He did a great job. And then he continued growing and doing it all the rest of middle school. Through high school, he was doing theater. And I could just see that confidence building as he grew up. And that's one thing that I do love about being able to help these kids with theater, is just that confidence boost that they get. It's so wonderful for them. So
How have you seen, I'll kind of just let whoever wants to take this, but how have you seen the faith be nurtured either within your classroom or in your own life maybe?
Okay. We have a thing in fifth grade where we call it the daily decade. And so we have 5 days a week of school. That's five decades. So we actually say a rosary once a week. When we started, there were several students, what's a rosary? I'm like, okay, we're going to fix this. But we go through all the mysteries, right? We start all the way to the luminous mysteries. And the gift that we gave for Mr. Warfield and Father Will was this jar filled with these beads. And I calculated it, even though I'm with math people who probably tell me I'm wrong. There were thousands of Hail Marys that we had said as a class. Think about it. 18 students every single day saying 10 Hail Marys, Our Fathers. Thousands of prayers coming from that classroom.
Storm in heaven.
Yes. And I thought, wow, what an impact this is. And that impact has, it is, that those three, and I told them, it's only 3 minutes. You're telling me we can't take 3 minutes for the Blessed Mother to give her this, you know, set of roses. And so we do that. And to see that change in the students, they don't complain. They go to the windowsill, they grab their rosaries, they sit down, you know, I put up the reflection on the screen, and we say our daily decade. And one day, and they don't know what I do these things, but I'm, you know, we're doing petitions. And some of the girls were complaining about, you know, another student. And I said, you mentioned somebody that you didn't like. And I said, what was her name? And so I put it on the board. And I went through the students that passed people they hadn't, that they didn't like. And I put a big heart around it. I said, today, I said, have you ever prayed for these people that you don't like? Why would I do that? Why would I do that? They were so mean to me. They bullied me. I said, well, we're going to pray for them today. And it... You should have seen the faces. They're like, wait a minute, yes. But to see that in them and realize, oh, my gosh, yes, I've been carrying this bully that doesn't even in my classroom anymore, and I've offered it up, and let's let it go, and let's keep praying this other way. But, yeah, that daily decade has been the most beautiful thing for me especially. I mean, it's just like to hear children pray. Yeah, I'm like, it's a lot better than mine. But I'm like, I'm just kind of latching on to theirs. But, yeah, it's a beautiful way.
Thank you so much, Francisco, because that was a perfect way to end our time together, as much as we hate to have to go.
Thanks again, y'all, for coming and sitting down with us here, you know, on the mic. And we appreciate your dedication to our children and our grandchildren, and wish you nothing but success, and know that you remain in our prayers. Yes. As well.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
It's great to be here.
And folks, we'll see you next week right here on your Central Texas home for Catholic Radio. And remember to put on the armor of God.